Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm BOGO offer. For 1 week only, buy one, get one. To order, go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code HOWIEBOGO.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Grace Curley Show. It is Wednesday, and we have a phenomenal show planned, if I do say so myself. George Mendoza, who's Frankie Mendoza's brother from the North End, who gave an incredibly powerful speech yesterday at City Hall about Mayor Wu purposefully excluding restaurant owners from the North End from her press conference. And it really, if you watch this video, we'll play it throughout the course of the show. But if you watch this video, I mean, the hairs on the back of your neck will stand up. It is so powerful, so poignant, and really just hits the nail on the head. And I think it goes further than just this situation in the North End. He's really speaking for how a lot of us have been feeling now for 2 years and being crushed by these petty tyrants. And he's speaking for everyone. And we're thrilled that he's going to come on the show at 1 o'clock. But you have to stay tuned for the entire show because we also have Ben Weingarten joining us in the 2 o'clock hour. I'm very excited about this as well. He has this piece out and it's in Newsweek and it's all about American information operations. Because you hear so much about Russian disinformation and all of this disinformation. And he kind of breaks down all of the times that we have been fed disinformation from our media and from the left and how purposeful that has been. And of course, he's highlighting what happened with Hunter Biden and he's asking some of the important questions, but he's really nailing the fact that there is a push to force us to believe fake news by the mainstream media and why they're doing it. And that's a question I think a lot of people ask themselves. What is the end goal here? And Ben is brilliant, and he's going to join us in the 2 o'clock. But as I was looking at everything, and I've explained this to people before, I tend to go through a bunch of articles, write down all the headlines, and kind of look at them from afar and try to see if there's like a big theme that's sticking out to me that day. And today I'm looking at everything from Hunter Biden corruption to the CDC working with the teachers union, AFT, to kind of put together these guidelines for schools and how messed up that is. Obviously, we have the leaked tapes that show Disney execs pushing their far left LGBTQ plus agenda on young children and through their programming. We're going to get into that. And then we have the big elephant in the room that is an everyday theme, which is the charade that is Joe Biden's presidency and the fact that we're all supposed to pretend that this man is even semi with it. And when I look at all of these together, I start to think like it's gotten to a point where I'm really wondering how much further rational thinking people, and I should add in like a little caveat here of previously rationally thinking people, because there are some people who are no longer thinking in their right mind, but at one point in their lives they were. When do those people get to a point where they can no longer stretch and bend their logic to put up with this nonsense? And I don't want to call it wokeness, because this is like a term that a lot of people on the right use. You know, we blame wokeness, safe spaces, all of this, snowflakes. Those are terms that are brought up a lot. And I don't think it does it justice. I think it downplays what we're seeing here, because this is beyond being inclusive. This is beyond being progressive. A lot of what we're seeing now feels nefarious. Locking down society, denying the existence of women, pushing World War III, through these media narratives. That's not wokeness. That is dangerous. That is an alternate reality that we are being force-fed on a daily basis. And yes, I understand that Trump broke people. I think I have like a PhD in Trump derangement syndrome. I have my degree in that. I could wear a white lab coat and go on MSNBC, but I would be telling them about an affliction that they're dealing with, so they probably wouldn't like it. But I understand that there are a lot of people who were broken by Donald Trump, and he still lives rent-free in their heads, or he golfs rent-free in their heads and gets holes in ones. But when do those people find reality again? And is there anything that forces the middle of the road to wake up? And we're going to be seeing this as we go into November. And
oh, no, not reality. Somebody stop him.
When I talk about the middle of the road, I think it's actually a perfect time to discuss this because Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who for a lot of people is the picture of the far left progressive liberal. I mean, she is the original squad member. And she gave an interview with New Yorker magazine. And she talked about how, now this is what you're going to see. You're going to see a lot of finger pointing leading up to November because no one wants to take the blame for this. So everyone's kind of getting ready here and they're getting their arguments ready as to why it wasn't their fault. You know, this wasn't my fault. If you guys had just listened to me, we wouldn't have lost so badly in November, which I very much hope happens. I hope there is a red wave. I say this all the time. Do not count on that. You still got to get involved. You still got to go out and vote. But they're all kind of prepping for why it's not their fault. And so you're going to have the middle, and Red State had a great piece on this. You're going to have the moderates blaming the far left. And then you're going to have the far left, like AOC, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, blaming the moderates for not going far enough. And I guess now what I'm wondering is if the middle of the road, if the people who voted for Biden because they couldn't stomach Trump, are there more or less of those people than we are being led to believe? I hope there's more. But even if there are more, even if there are more people who are, you know, Manchin Democrats than AOC Democrats, and I understand Manchin's a senator, AOC is a congresswoman, so it's different. But you get what the gist of what I'm saying. Even if there are more people who are like Joe Manchin in the way they think about policies, does it matter if what all we're seeing, all we're consuming, all we're being told is from this group of the loudest, most extreme voices in our society? Like I oftentimes think of when people say Twitter's not real life. And thank God that is true. Thank God Twitter is not real life. But when you're on Twitter, you are surrounded by the most extreme on both sides, but very much by the most extreme on the left. And a perfect example is this Will Smith situation. You would not believe the amount of people not only defending Will Smith, but attacking Chris Rock, and who think that Will Smith was in the right and Chris Rock is in the wrong. But if I ask people in real life, they wouldn't agree with that. They would say, oh my God, of course, you can't go up and slap somebody for a joke. That's not how we conduct ourselves in society. But we are told over and over again that these opinions from the far left are the norm. And I guess it just brings me to, as we go into November, how bad will this get before then? Because right now, I feel like I'm inundated with these extreme opinions about how, you know, you have to be a biologist to define what a woman is. Or if you admit that Joe Biden doesn't seem like he's really all there, you are, you know, a right-wing extremist. Or if you say that maybe you don't think it's great if America engages in a no-fly zone in Ukraine, you are Putin's puppet. And I'm just wondering, like, how desperate are these narratives going to get? And how crazy are these Democrats going to get before November? Because we're not even there yet, and it's already increasing at warp speed every single day. It feels like there's 6 or 7 headlines that blow my mind. And I don't know what realities they're going to deny in the future. I don't really know what the future holds, but I don't think we can continue on like this. And Ben Weingarten and other people have pointed out that when history looks back, you know, Jen Psaki, who I've heard rumblings now, she's thinking about jumping ship and going to some of these media outlets. She's done being head of the cleanup crew. But they oftentimes like to talk about what the history books will say. You hear Dick Durbin and Jen Psaki say the history books, how the history books will look
since the Civil War.
India taking gas or oil from Russia. How will the history books see that? You know, how will the history books look at the Taliban? They're going to have to consider that before they make their next move. And if you really want to talk about the history books, what are they going to write about right now where we are all losing our minds and where no one can admit the reality that's right in front of them? Where we have a president who has quoted things. He's read his exact quotes to himself, and he acts like he didn't just say them 2 days ago. And he's offended by the words that you're reading to him that are his words. How dare you read back a quote I just said? And how dare you act as though people would take my words seriously just because I'm the president of the United States? And how dare you try to bring up Hunter Biden's laptop until 2 years later when the New York Times gets around to confirming that it's true? It's every single thing is just, it's incredibly frustrating. And I think that that's how I'm starting the show. If you're frustrated by any of these things I just brought up, feel free to weigh in. We have tons of sound. I'm very excited to talk about the situation at City Hall yesterday, and also very excited to talk about what's happening with Hunter Biden, because we have updates on that. It's 844-500-4242. I mean, every time you think they can't get crazier, they do. And heading into, if this is how they act when they're in charge, when they're backed into a corner in November, I am truly frightened to think about where we're going to be at. My friends at Eden Pure have brought back BOGO for 1 week only. BOGO ends Sunday, April 3rd. Allergy season is in full force, and BOGO Buy One, Get One is here to help. Whether for allergies, kitchen, pet, or tobacco smells, you need the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. No filters are needed, which saves you time and money. One of our listeners from a VIP experience she was in a few weeks ago, and she told me she buys these for gifts, and they're great gifts for people, especially people who listen to the show who want to try it. Now, this BOGO offer is a great deal because you buy one, you get one. That means you can use one in your kitchen. You can even use one in your car. Jared, I know you have a handy dandy Eden Pure in your car right now.
Yeah, I love it for allergies, especially now this time of year when the pollen is starting and you got your windows open some of the time. That pollen gets in. You're opening your doors. The pollen gets in. But it comes with its own USB cable. You just plug it into the unit, plug it into the USB port in your car, turn it on, and just like it does in your house, it starts ionizing the air, which sends out ions. It creates a super oxygen, which is what gets rid of any allergens and pollutants, and it obviously will get rid of any odors, even some viruses, and you'll be breathing clean air in your car. It's great.
Yeah, do what Jared did. Take advantage of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm BOGO offer for this week only. You buy one and you get one, and it's extended until April 3rd. So this is just for my listeners. Go to EdenPureDeals.com, put in code GRACEBOGO. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code word GRACEBOGO. Shipping is free. The number is 844-500-4242. We're talking about everything from Hunter Biden to the November midterms, whatever it is, we are here to discuss, to vent, and to just wonder how we got here. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley. She's the cool kid at the lunch table.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potatoes.
You'll get nothing and like it.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. And of course, there were things I missed in that opening monologue that are insane. Well, look at the border. We're on track to hit 1 million encounters. And that's just the people that they have track of. There's always runaways as well, or gotaways. And there's so much to break down. And then you have Ginni Thomas and that whole story. And the left is latching on to that. Some people want Clarence Thomas to recuse himself from January 6th cases, and other people like AOC want him impeached. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. Dan, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Dan.
Oh, thank you, Grace. Grace, I think that, you know, for the last few years, there's been a lot of lies. There's been so many lies. And people hearing it every single night on all of these different networks, they lose the ability to be able to tell the difference between truth and fiction. Because, you know, let's face it, all these things that are happening that are very, very bad things that are happening now took quite a long time to materialize and for people to actually see. And I think that the ones that have just been completely bulldozed, they've been snowed, they've been lied to, they're on their team and they're never leaving. I think that you got another 25 to 30% that I think you got another 25 to 30% of people that, of course, now they see, you know, the price increases, they see the fact that there's crime. They see absolutely everything laid right out in front of them, and it's just completely undeniable. It's completely the truth of what they're seeing. And quite honestly, Grace, I think that these people, the 25 to 30%, are beginning to wake up and see the fact that they have been lied to.
I hope I hope you're right, Dan, and I just want to add something in here, because a lot of times when you have a situation like what we saw with Ketanji Brown Jackson, where she's asked to define a woman and she says, "I'm not a biologist," and you might think to yourself, that's like an issue where Dan is talking about, where it takes a long time to materialize. You know, there were some people who were at the forefront of this culture war who were saying you have to be able to define what a woman is and what a man is, and they're not things that you can just define based off how you feel. And that's a simple truth that when you lose that, you kind of lose the script. And there's a piece today in The Federalist by J.B. Shirk. And if men can become women, then the powerful can force others to believe anything. And that's what the crux of this issue is. It's forcing people to believe things they know are not real. They know are not true. And I just want to read you a little bit of this. By destroying the biological baselines for men and women, transgenderism dismantles our shared history. It deletes the role of women from our human story. It rewrites womanhood as nothing more than a man's tale of what womanhood should be. And it levels a final rebuke from confused men uncomfortable in their own skin. Anything you can do, we can do better. There will be a time in the not-so-distant future when this unserious era dedicated to meaningless contradiction is judged harshly by those who follow. They will laugh at our ignorance as we have laughed at those generations that came before us. They will write chapters in history books dedicated to the whole sordid story of transgenderism. Still, our descendants will never completely understand. And I always make the case here that I am not trying to be hurtful or hateful to people who are transgender. Really, whatever you decide to do is your choice. But I go back to that Dave Chappelle quote. You know, at what point do I have to keep participating in your reality? And a really good example, we were talking about these Disney execs and the leaked tape from one of their meetings. And I want to play one here because this was the one that stood out to me the most. This was the Disney diversity and inclusion manager, Vivian Ware. And listen to how they're changing Disney in a way that they think is good. That they think this is a positive change for Disney. This is Cut 21.
Last summer, we removed all of the gendered greetings in relationship to our life skills. So we no longer say ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. We've provided training for all of our cast members in relationship to that. So now they know it's hello everyone or hello friends. We are in the process of changing over those recorded messages. And so many of you are probably familiar when we brought the fireworks back to the Magic Kingdom. We no longer say ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we say dreamers of all ages. And so I love the fact that it's opened up the creativity, the opportunity for our cast members to look at that. We have our cast members working with merchandise, working with food and beverage,
let's pause it there. Because this is exactly where you see erasing ladies and gentlemen in order to bring forth what they consider to be a more woke, perfect, acceptable language to the far left. And it brings me back to my original question. I don't know if a lot of people are on board for this. I think a lot of people were on board for saying, do what you want. Okay, I'm accepting of everyone. But these fundamental changes that we're making and forcing people to accept these new realities they know not to be true, I don't know how much people are on board for that. 844-500-4242. More on Fauci, Hunter Biden, you name it, when we come back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. I want to spend a little time on Hunter Biden in this segment. But before we do that, we have some people waiting on the lines here. Susan, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Susan.
Yes, hi. So I just wanted to remind people, maybe someone could remind me, when Title IX was passed. I mean, women's sports need a Title IX desperately. Constantly underfunded and underworked, and that became the law of the land. And now it's under attack, really, with the transgenders interfering with women's participation in sports. I wish we'd hear from more female sports professionals. I think the only way it's going to end is when women step back and don't participate and just kill it as it stands. And then maybe it'll be missed. I mean, other than that, I don't see protests doing it.
Yeah, and I think another part of this, Susan, is the larger conversation with which Ted Cruz brought up to Ketanji Brown Jackson, which is, where does it end? You know, like, this is only the beginning. If you think that Leah Thomas swimming in the pool with women and beating them all is the end of this, or, you know, the end of this chapter, this is only the beginning. And in this same piece, and I put this in Grace's recommended reading, you guys can check that out at gracecurlyshow.com, by J.B. Shirk, he says, the absurdity of this reductionism is obvious to ordinary people, even if it remains elusive to the highly educated. And isn't that an interesting concept, too, that so many of these things that are so basic seem to elude the Ivy Leaguers? They can't wrap their arms around it. If I am a woman because I say it is so, then I can be anything by saying it is so. If men can break glass ceilings and female records because in their minds they are something they are not, then no limiting principle can prevent personal belief from becoming forced reality. And this is why in any argument you have, you can't just go based off how you feel. You have to go based off truths. Otherwise, later in the argument, you're going to get lost. And you're going to get beat in a debate because it doesn't hold up. And the fundamental parts of this debate do not hold up. Thank you for the call, Susan. I agree with you about women and feminists having to get involved here. I don't know when we're going to see that happen. I want to shift gears a little bit, but we will keep taking your calls. It's 844-500-4242. Let's get to the Biden crime family. We have to cover some of this before we bring on Ben Weingarten in the 2 o'clock, because there's just too much to uncover here. Joe Biden had a horrible week in Europe, and we talked a lot about the walkbacks, including the fact that he said this man cannot remain in power.
You never go back.
He was later asked about it, and like I said, how dare you make me bleed my own blood? How dare you quote back my own words to me? I don't know that idiot. I have no idea who said that. Well, there's more things that are being walked back. And when I keep seeing that word, walk back, I feel like Joe Biden is stealing Ralph Northam's gig. He's becoming like the moonwalk man. He comes into an event, says something, and then he just walks it back and he dips out. Well, we have another walk
Joey
back
baby
from Joey. Oh, this is a remix. I like this. We have another walk back from Joe Biden. He's not doing the walking though in this one. We have General Todd Walters, and he was with Senator Tom Cotton, and he was asked about Biden's remark that we are training Ukrainian forces. And this is where it always ends up getting a little sticky for Joe, is that people, you know, he's willing to lie for himself, but other people,
this is going to sound wonky.
You know, you really see how dedicated people are to you when you ask them to lie over and over and over again on record, you know, and this man, this general, wouldn't do it. So let's take a little bit of cut 17, please, Jared.
The president said while he was in Europe that we are training Ukrainian forces in Poland. Is that accurate?
At this time,
Is that the time setting of the statement?
That's what the president said. Jake Sullivan said we are not. I'm just trying to figure out if we are or are not.
I do not believe that we are in the process of currently training military forces from Ukraine and Poland. There are liaisons that are there that are being given advice.
In the words of Kamala Harris, yes or no, buddy? What is up with everyone having to give a dissertation every time they're asked a yes or no question? He said one thing. Is it true? Well, it all started 84 years ago. No. Is it true, yes or no? I don't need the word salads. I'm completely stuffed, okay? I'm good on word salads for the rest of my life. You answer yes or no. Like, what is this loyalty to his nonsense that they're all getting tongue-tied when asked a basic question? Is the time reference that you're, are we talking hypothetical? No. We're talking about, is it happening right now? Well, the time that is, it reminds me of being in high school when you give your parents the runaround about a party. Well, it depends. Did I take the car? Really, when you think about it, did I take the car ever? Possibly. Did I take the car this weekend? That's up for debate. It's like, just answer it. I don't understand why we do this back and forth.
And talking about the significance of the passage of time.
No. Yeah, they're all taking like lessons from Kamala Harris. What? Is this contagious, whatever her quotes are, these random Socratic musings of Kamala Harris?
I was talking to Taylor about this. Every person now, especially from this administration, when you listen to them talk, it's like a second-year high school student, like a sophomore learning about philosophy for the first time and trying to sound smart and just wax poetic and Socratic and, you know, give all these grand sweeping notions
and then
words and language.
And then they finish and the teacher goes, not quite.
Yeah.
Not quite, but nice effort, John. Nice effort. I'm going to mark that down for your report card that you tried your best, but you're not there yet.
Yeah, Holden Caulfield was just a jerk. He was not some lost in the wilderness, wanderlust soul kid, okay?
All right, now beyond just Joe Biden and his walkbacks, I want to talk about Hunter and what's happening there, because we talk about dead-enders with COVID, but we have dead-enders with the Hunter Biden laptop. We're going to get to that in a second. But let's keep going to the calls here. People are making great points today. Lou, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Lou.
Yeah, how you doing, Grace? The thing is when you were talking about before what's coming up in the next election and how are things going to get worse, it can only get worse for the Democrats if the Republicans play their cards right, because the Democrats now, after 15 months, have a track record. They are talking about building back better, but they've made things 100 times worse. It was much better 2 years ago under Trump, and everybody knows it. When you talk about the inflation, the gas prices, immigration, energy, the military, the way we got out of Afghanistan, and now you're going to bring up Hunter, and I want to bring this up too, is that now we're learning that the laptop is real. The Washington Post is coming out saying it's real too, and the New York Times, and that the whole thing that they perpetrated in October before the election last year was a total fraud, because they hid away information that could have benefited the American public in some way or another about exposing Biden. But even if that doesn't, you know, make any difference, the fact is now we know that Biden has a history of basically being a crook, and his whole family has a history of being crooked and corrupt. And this also exposes the Democratic Party as a party that tries to cover up in the media, cover up and hide the crookedness of many of their top leaders.
Yeah, and let's get into that, Lou, for a second, because on one hand, I agree with you that it's a real hard sell for the Democrats come November to say, listen, I know we tried all the things we told you were going to make life so great, and now your life sucks. However, if you just give us one more chance to try again, I don't know how forgiving the American people are at this point. I think people have kind of reached their wit's end, so I don't know if that's going to work. But the second part about Hunter Biden is, you're right, this is a huge story. And the Senate Judiciary Committee ranking member Chuck Grassley took to the Senate floor last night, and he said this is just a little taste of the new information that we're getting about Hunter Biden's deep business and family ties to communist China. And that's just one country he has deep ties to. This guy has deep ties to plenty of places. And even though Lou just pointed out that the Washington Post, and I read that op-ed as well about how, you know, the left has a problem with the facts as much as the right might. Obviously, they have to put their own like editorial spin on it. But it was a pretty good piece. Even so, you bring me to my next point, which is that there are dead enders. You know, like Lou just said, oh, we know the Hunter Biden laptop is true. Well, yeah, but there are still people who it's taking a lot out of them to get there. You know, it's a real tricky process. And you can tell how painful this is. And my first example is CNN's John Harwood, who, as a lot of people were pointing out on social media, you would think he was a spokesperson for the White House. This guy is spinning like you couldn't pay him to spin this hard. Let's take a listen to what he had to say about the laptop. This is John Harwood, Cut 18.
How significant is this, John?
Well, look, it seems pretty clear that Hunter Biden was trading on his father's name to make a lot of money. He's had a difficult life. But until you make someone makes a nexus between what Hunter Biden has done and official activities of Vice President Biden or President Biden, it's a not pretty picture, but it's not really of much public import in terms of the policy of the United States or the administration of the government. And the fact that an investigation has been sustained during the Biden administration is an indication that the government is working on this subject. And we'll see what the results are. But so far, there is zero evidence that Vice President Biden or President Biden has done anything wrong in connection with what Hunter Biden has done.
It's an important distinction.
It is an important distinction, Brianna. Thank you so much. I want to point out a few things. One, the first thing that caught my ear with that was that Hunter's had a difficult life. And I don't deny that. I don't know what that has to do with trading off your father's name and having corrupt, shady business dealings. I don't know if John Harwood is like Hunter's therapist, why that's in play here. Is he a reporter? Is he supposed to be like, is he one of those serious reporters who I'm supposed to believe? By the way, zero evidence that anything was suspicious here from the same network that told us we shouldn't believe the laptop in the first place.
Serious people.
So color me skeptical if I don't want to believe them when they tell me they found zero evidence. How hard have you looked, John? Did you guys investigate this as hard as you did when you debunked it in the first place 2 years ago? Or is this an investigation like the Russia hoax? Because you found plenty of stuff. You found plenty of evidence with that, which was completely made up. But you find zero evidence with this laptop that you denied existed or was real for 2 years. That's a little interesting. And by the way, I love how he says, until they can find a nexus. Call me crazy. But I have a feeling that now that this laptop is verified and the Republicans are going to take back over, hopefully in November, and we have people like Chuck Grassley and Matt Gaetz and Tom Cotton and all different people looking into this, I have a feeling that they'll be able to find a connection between Hunter and his dad. And it's not because I think those people are particularly brilliant. Some of them I do think are very smart. I think Tom Cotton's very smart. I think a lot of those guys are smart. But I would say it's more because I don't think Hunter Biden is as smart as Joe thinks he is. I know he's the smartest man Joe knows, but a guy who is constantly...
I probably smoke more Parmesan cheese than anyone.
The guy who's constantly documenting himself naked with crack pipes in the tub, feel like he could have left a couple of loose ends out there, you know? Feel like he drops off his laptop at a repair shop. It's full of nude photos of himself smoking crack. Feel like there's other things he might have forgot to, you know, close out of, or, you know, loose ends he might have not wrapped up. That's just me. And I'm not an expert. I'm not a biologist. I'm just a girl in front of a microphone. So what do I know? But yeah, that's a dead ender. John Harwood is definitely a dead ender. And then you have CNN senior legal analyst Ellie Honig, and she is actually saying, oh, I'm sorry, it's Eli. He is saying that this could be...
We're assuming it. I am assuming gender, and we definitely don't want to do that.
I was going to say, you're not a biologist either.
I am not a biologist.
I don't know where
birthing people.
Where you get the audacity to do that. But let's take
Good
a listen.
I don't work for Disney anymore.
Let's take a listen to Eli, a CNN senior legal analyst. They didn't bring out Jeffrey Toobin to talk about the Hunter laptop. They brought out Eli. I don't know why. Why didn't Toobin make the cut for this one?
Damn, Jeffrey Toobin.
I'm glad you played that because we do have OJ in the news later. I don't want to get too distracted here, okay? I'm like a parrot with a shiny object. We do have OJ later, but let's play Eli Honig from CNN, Cut 19.
Well, Brianna, this is a very real, very substantial investigation of potentially serious federal crimes. We are seeing federal prosecutors in Delaware do exactly what you would expect to see federal prosecutors do in this situation. They're talking to witnesses. They're bringing people into the grand jury. They're issuing subpoenas. And I would expect, as Evan reported, they're now gaining steam and they need to make a decision, I think, in the at least intermediate future. This case has been going on for 4 years, and there is a realistic chance this could result in federal charges. Of course, then we'd be in unprecedented political territory, not legal territory, but a situation of having potentially the Justice Department prosecuting and trying to imprison the son of the president.
Wow. It's amazing. It took you guys a long time to get there, but congratulations. I would like to send CNN a card to congratulate them. They're 2 years late, but man, they're killing it now. By the way, when we come back, we're going to do a trip down memory lane featuring one of my favorite series people, Joe Scarborough. His take on Hunter Biden aged about as well as you would guess. We got this. We got more of your calls. It's 844-500-4242. Call in now. We're talking Hunter Biden, the mainstream media, everything in between. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Start the afternoon off right.
Now what? Here comes a girl. Here she is. This is just the best part of my day.
It's Grace Curley.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Kennedy Carpet. Kennedy Carpet is growing and hiring from many positions, including installers, carpet cleaners, water damage technicians, warehouse and salespeople. Kennedy Carpet offers full benefits and more. Find out all they have to offer by calling 1-888-KENNEDY. That's 1-888-KENNEDY. I love Kennedy Carpets. Jared, what's the poll question and what are the results thus far?
If Republicans take over Congress in November, which investigation would you be the most excited to see? Hunter, Fauci, or January 6th?
Hunter.
46% of the audience says Hunter.
Starting this Friday for the month of April, we're giving away $50 a day on both mine and Howie's show. To enter, to win, go to gracecurlyshow.com and click on the Tire Tutor Gas Giveaway banner. It's on the right of the website, so make sure you go to gracecurlyshow.com to enter. Jared, this is going to be very quick, but can we do a little trip down memory lane here?
Thought I had forgot the past, and now I'm slipping fast. Oh, back down memory lane.
Joe Scarborough, flashback to 2020, talking about Hunter's laptop. Cut 20, please.
It is so obviously disinformation that the person that writes the story won't put their name on it because they know it's a lie.
History will expose you all as fools and useful idiots for the Russians. It's for 4 years now.
History. I don't think history is going to write about that rant in very flattering terms. All right, when we come back, we're talking to George Mendoza from Monica's about his incredible speech directed at Mayor Wu yesterday. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.